Mr. Lynch, Wilson said, smiling. I hereby place you under corporate arrest. He turned to the drop cops. Tell the repo team to come on up and clear this place out. He glanced around the room and noticed the thin line of smoke now pouring out of my computer. He looked at me and shook his head. That was stupid. We could have sold that computer to help pay down your debt. I couldn't reply around the ball gag, so I just shrugged and gave him the finger. They tore off my haptic suit and left it for the repo team. I was totally naked underneath. They gave me a disposable slate-gray jumpsuit to put on, with matching plastic shoes. The suit felt like sandpaper, and it began to make me itch as soon as I put it on. They'd cuffed my hands, so it wasn't easy to scratch. They dragged me out into the hall. The harsh fluorescence sucked the color out of everything and made it look like an old black-and-white film. As we rode the elevator down to the lobby, I hummed along with the Muzak as loudly as I could to show them I wasn't afraid. When one of the drop cops waved his stun gun at me, I stopped. They put a hooded winter coat on me in the lobby. They didn't want me catching pneumonia now that I was company property, a human resource. Then they led me outside, and sunlight hit my face for the first time in over half a year. It was snowing, and everything was covered in a thin layer of gray ice and slush. I didn't know what the temperature was, but I couldn't remember ever feeling so cold. The wind cut right to my bones. They herded me over to their transport truck. Two new indents already sat in the back, strapped into plastic seats, both wearing visors. People they'd arrested earlier that morning. The drop cops were like garbage collectors, making their daily rounds. The indent on my right was a tall, thin guy, probably a few years older than me. He looked like he might be suffering from malnutrition. The other indent was morbidly obese, and I couldn't be sure of the person's gender. I decided to think of him as male. His face was obscured by a mop of dirty blonde hair, and something that looked like a gas mask covered his nose and mouth. A thick black tube ran from the mask down to a nozzle on the floor. I wasn't sure of its purpose until he lurched forward, drawing his restraints tight, and vomited into the mask. I heard a vacuum activate, sucking the indent's regurgitated Oreos down the tube and into the floor. I wondered if they stored it in an external tank or just dumped it on the street. Probably a tank. IOI would probably have his vomit analyzed and put the results in his file. You feel sick? One of the drop cops asked as he removed my ball gag. Tell me now, and I'll put a mask on you. I feel great, I said, not very convincingly. Okay, but if I have to clean up your puke, I'll make sure you regret it. They shoved me inside and strapped me down directly across from the skinny guy. Two of the drop cops climbed into the back with us, stowing their plasma welders in a locker. The other two slammed the rear doors and climbed into the cab up front. As we pulled away from my apartment complex, I craned my neck to look through the transport's tinted rear windows up at the building where I'd lived for the past year. I was able to spot my window up on the 42nd floor because of its spray-painted black glass. The repo team was probably already up there by now. All of my gear was being disassembled, inventoried, tagged, boxed, and prepared for auction. Once they finished emptying out my apartment, custodial bots would scour and disinfect it. A repair crew would patch the outer wall and replace the door. IOI would be billed, and the cost of the repairs would be added to my outstanding debt to the company. By mid-afternoon, the lucky Gunter who was next on the apartment building's waiting list would get a message informing him that a unit had opened up. And by this evening, the new tenant would probably already be moved in. By the time the sun went down, all evidence that I'd ever lived there would be totally erased. As the transport swung out onto High Street, I heard the tires crunch the salt crystals covering the frozen asphalt. One of the drop cops reached over and slapped a visor on my face. I found myself sitting on a sandy white beach, watching the sunset, while waves crashed in front of me. This must be the simulation they used to keep indents calm during the ride downtown. Using my cuffed hand, I pushed the visor up onto my forehead. The drop cops didn't seem to care or pay me any notice at all. so I craned my head again to stare out the window. I hadn't been out here in the real world for a long time, and I wanted to see how it had changed.